inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. I'm Walker Wildman. It's good to be with you on this live Wednesday edition of the program in the new year, as we're 8 days in to the new year. And a lot of newsworthy events over the next few weeks. We had the certification of the election taking place on Monday of this week. We had the swearing in of the new Congress also on Monday of this week. And the funeral for President Jimmy Carter is taking place tomorrow. And the inauguration's coming up on the 20th. President Trump will be sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. And as we know, as we can predict, the start of the Trump second term is going to be very, very newsworthy. And all signs are pointing to a very aggressive Trump presidency and a lot of lessons learned on the first presidency. So I think President Trump has his team. He's ready to go. And it's just a matter of getting the job done. So we'll talk about all that and some of the latest breaking news this hour here on the program. But before we do, let's turn our attention to the scripture and read out of the book of Psalm chapter 143, verses 10 and 11. Specifically, I want to point out verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. So the Trinity consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as newly born believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what separates us from the world, is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we don't need to hesitate to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the early church did. That's what the apostles and the disciples did. They knew the power of the Holy Spirit once God gifted the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so as believers, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. And this is, you know, this a lot of the way God works, it kind of goes against, it goes against, you know, man's way of doing things, man's way of operating. And one prime example of this is we're all, we're of course born into sin. That's what the scripture says, because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We're born into sin, and it's God that changes us. It's Jesus that changes our hearts and our minds. And it's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us through biblical living. But my point in talking about how the world operates and how believers operate is it's very difficult to change man. It's very difficult to influence man and to permanently alter the trajectory that man is on, unless God intervenes. And this is the case in every believer's life, at least it very well should be. Otherwise, you might need to be questioning your testimony. But God brings about radical transformation in people's lives. God brings about radical transformation in people's lives. And so this is what boggles the mind of the world is the fact that God can radically change people. And that's what I call the God factor. And that's why we all hope for miracles, because we know and believe that God performs miracles. And we know and believe that because we've seen it in our own life as Christians. We've seen the radical transformation that God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit provides to believers. So verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and your good spirit leads me, or let your good spirit lead me on level ground. That's Psalm 143, verse 10. Speaking of the Word of God, we have our Activate Summit coming up in June, and we're excited to be with everyone who's coming in to Tupelo for our Activate Summit. Activate.afa.net is the URL. Activate.afa.net is the URL. Activate Summit 2025. Our theme is Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture. Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture. Our dates for that are mid-June, June 12th through the 14th. That's going to be at Cadence Bank Arena here in Tupelo, Mississippi. While you're here, you can tour American Family Radio, our studios, American Family Association, meet some of our team here. So we're excited for this. This is our first ever Activate Summit, and we're really building it on our Activate curriculum, which if you haven't checked out, all of that's available at the website, activate.afa.net. But we have a pretty robust biblical worldview training, multiple units, multiple sessions, over a dozen professors that teach this biblical worldview training. It's based off of our core values at AFA, which are then based off Scripture. So all of this is exciting, but this is our first Activate Summit. We're going to start it out right by building on the authority of Scripture. So the Scripture is going to be our starting point, and then each year we'll have a different theme, and these themes will be based on the Activate curriculum. So it goes very much hand in hand, and if you want to do the curriculum throughout the year and then come to the summit, it's just a great opportunity to build on your knowledge of God, your knowledge of Scripture. Pricing is very affordable for the Activate Summit. I believe it's $75 per adult. And the term adult is 13 plus, just because we're breaking this down by who's in what session. And 13 and older are going to be able to be in the main session. So basically teens and adults and parents are going to be able to be in the main session, 13 plus in the main session. Those tickets are $75. So all of the content in the main session is going to be appropriate for 13 plus, all right? It's important that we want, number one, this is a family affair. This is a family event. Hence, we have the, a kids track, and we want the teens to be in the main session with the adults. But we also, one of the other reasons we are including 13 plus in the main session is because at some point, families need to come together. Parents and teenagers need to come together and sit under the same teachings, the same information, the same biblical worldview training, because it sparks conversations. There's a time and a place to separate, and you know, the kids and the youth go to their track, and you know, adults go to their session. But we felt it very important to include teenagers in this main session, and hopefully they're coming with their parents to this event. And then we have Activate Kids, right? This is its own track. This is going to be $50 per person. Activate Kids, that age breakdown 6 to 12. So if you're 6 to 12, if your kids are 6 to 12, they can participate in the Activate Kids track, $50 per person for that. And then children under 5 are, of course, free. Children under 5 are free for the Activate Summit. And thankfully, well, my twins will be 6 by then, but right now, I've got the majority of my kids 5 and under, so this will be a great deal for me. And so if you've got, you know, a couple kids under 5, then they're coming free, so you just have to pay for your parents' tickets. So we want to make this feasible and affordable for families to come join us. Activate Summit 2025, activate.afa.net. Well, I've spent the whole segment talking about the Activate Summit. I guess there's nothing wrong with that, Bobby. Coming up, Bobby, you'll be there. You're always there.
I'm always there.
Yes.
I'll be around somewhere.
So Bobby will be helping out. He and Denise usually participate in some form or fashion, whether it's with the kids or worship or something like that. One other thing. Oh, okay. This is what I was going to say before we wrap up our Activate discussion and then wrap up the segment. We are extending the early bird registration. That's the reason I brought this up. I forgot. We are extending the early bird registration 2 more days. We ended it on January 1, but we're going to carry it out till the 10th. And I should have mentioned this on Monday, but I didn't. But we're going to carry the early bird 20% off registration discount through Friday of this week, all right? So if you want to get 20% off your registration for the Activate Summit, you can do it over the next 2 days, okay? Over the next 2.5 days, you can get 20% off when you register at activate.afa.net. All you have to do is enter the discount code EARLYBIRD20. That's all one word bunched together, EARLYBIRD20, when you go to checkout. And if over the next 2 days, if for some reason you forget the discount code, you can simply call our headquarters here, and we'll be glad to get you fixed up with that discount code EARLYBIRD20. You can use that at checkout to get 20% off. And if you're bringing a big family like myself, 20% goes a long way when you start adding up these tickets. So take advantage of that over the next few days. We look forward to seeing you in June.
Yeah, and we'll have the link in the notes.
Perfect.
For the podcast today.
There you have it, on the show notes at afr.net and on the podcast page. You can check out the link, as we do each show. Other event, speaking of events that we're doing, is my dad's been leading tours, and my grandfather, by the way, going back 35, nearly 40 years or longer. My grandfather started it and my dad picked it up, but leading tours, spiritual heritage tours is what we call them, to Washington, D.C., Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, Israel, the Holy Land. We've been doing this, my dad has, for 30 years, and taken thousands of people to these different places. Well, in 2025, which is this year, here we are, 2025, we're adding in Boston to the list of options for tours. So we're going to be going to Boston, and there's more Christian heritage in Boston than I gave it credit for. I mean, there is just a ton of providential history in Boston and the surrounding areas. We're going to visit the Freedom Trail. We're going to go to the home and park, the home and place of John Adams. We're going to go look at the Mayflower Museum. I mean, there's several things I'm missing here, but we've probably got over a dozen sites on the agenda for the Boston area. So we're going to do that in October of this year. We're going to go to Boston for the first time. It's going to be a great trip. But if you want to know any information about that trip or some of the other ones we've been doing for a long time, including Washington and Williamsburg, you can simply go to wildmangroup.com and check out the itinerary, check out the pricing. And let's see, we're going to go to the William Bradford Experience. I've got the agenda here. We're going to go to the Boston Massacre site. We're going to visit the Ben Franklin statue. We're going to go to Bunker Hill, USS Constitution. We're going to go to Paul Revere's house. We're going to visit Lexington and Concord, the Minuteman National Historic Park. That's just a few. So it's going to be an exciting trip. We've already got one bus full. We're planning to take two buses, and one is already full. So it's filling up quickly. You can go over to wildmangroup.com, check out more information, and register for all of the tours that we do each year. And Lord willing, in 2026, we'll pick back up Israel. And we may even add a Footsteps of Paul tour of Greece in 2026. But we've got to get Trump in there, and we've got to get some of this geopolitical turmoil settled down so we can get Israel back on the books with a regular trip, and then look at doing a trip of Greece. So all of these trips that we take and all of these events that we do are really aimed at building up the body of Christ and educating people on history. This is important, folks. You may get bored in history class as a student, but as you begin to mature, you start to appreciate what people before us have gone through and how God's hand has been placed on our nation's history from very, very early on, including the Pilgrims, the colonies, the founding fathers. God's hand is on our nation, and he has a purpose and a plan for our nation. And as believers, as Christians in this time, we're to be diligent, we're to be obedient, and we're to understand how God has acted throughout history. We'll be back in a few.
director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us on this second segment of the program. Well, you know, I had a few things that I want to talk about on the program today, but I'll tell you what, this news story just came in front of me, and I'm going to talk about the wildfires over in California and the LA area here in a little bit. I definitely have a take on it, a pretty strong opinion on the utter mismanagement of the forest in California, and this goes back. Look, I talked about this like 3 years ago, Bobby. I mean, this was a topic I covered within the first 6 to 12 months of this program. We talked about, I think it was California wildfires.
It was.
Yeah, and the winds and the destruction. And I even had some forest management guys call in to the program a couple of years ago. And they were kind of giving their expert opinion on the mismanagement here. But we'll get that in a few minutes. But I came across this CNBC headline, and you're going to get a chuckle out of this. Fed officials, talking about the Federal Reserve, are worried about the inflation impacts from Trump's policies. Minute show. I'm trying to be serious. Reading the first paragraph here. Federal Reserve officials at their December meeting expressed concern about inflation and the impact that President-elect, the guy's not even sworn in yet, Donald Trump's policies could have, in indicating that they would be moving more slowly on interest rate cuts because of the uncertainty. Minutes released Wednesday showed. Where have you guys been? Where have you been for the last 4 years?
Yeah, no warning took place in the last 4 years, though.
Bobby.
Or in the last 20 days, for that matter, with the 10-year up around almost 4.77, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. So, Bobby, so Congress spends $7 trillion during COVID of new money, by the way. And it just keeps printing it, right? And the budget, I mean, they don't know a budget, right? And so Congress just prints money like nobody's business. Biden sends money to Ukraine that we don't even have. And the Fed is concerned about a president that hasn't even been sworn in yet causing inflation.
Not to mention there's no perspective down the road of what they happen to be able to do and what they're planning to do in terms of cuts to the government budget.
Correct.
Working on balanced budgets. But that has nothing
they
to
don't
do
want
with
to talk
inflation
about
at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. You should see Bobby rolling his eyes as he says that. For those who don't understand sarcasm. Folks, this is quite infuriating. I'm laughing because if I don't laugh, I'm going to get mad. But the audacity, the arrogance to not understand, folks, and these people know better. They got to know better. If they're not, why are they in the positions that they're in? But inflation, number one, the Fed didn't cause inflation. Yeah, they did, Walker. They had 0% interest rates. No, I completely dispute that. I'm not suggesting we ought to have 1-2% interest rates, but I'm telling you for a fact, the Fed didn't cause inflation. Congress caused inflation. Congress and the White House caused inflation. And I'm not going to let President Trump get out of this discussion completely unscathed. Okay? Because in the last 6 months of the presidency, President Trump spent some money. Remember, the first COVID stimulus package was done under President Trump. And I think it was completely unnecessary. We sent stimulus checks, and I'm talking to myself too here. We sent stimulus checks to people who still had jobs. And we sent stimulus checks when we already have an unemployment safety net in place. Why send checks to people who are still have jobs? And why send checks when we have this thing called an unemployment system program that's been around since like three times since I've been alive? Like dozens of years, probably going back 100 years. Like 20s, 30s. And so that made no sense. But if you, but they did it quickly, and by the time we all realized what was going on, it was already done. And all everybody was getting a check, so who's going to question it, right?
And if they missed you, the IRS is going to come out. if we didn't give you your $1,400 check in 2021, we have a nice surprise.
Whether you want it or not, they're going to send it.
And that won't be inflationary at all.
No, and it won't be fraudulent either, Bobby, because these people haven't applied for it or asked for it, and they're going to send it anyway, which means the people are either deceased, no longer in the country, illegal immigrants. Like, this money is going to vaporize. I'll tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go to the banks.
Yep.
Because that money sits so long in that bank account, unused, untapped, the money's going to the banks at the end of the day. If it's untapped, unused, the account's inactive, that's going to go into some kind of slush fund with the banks.
Yeah, because most of this stuff is still going to be going direct deposit. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so the Fed is concerned about Trump's policies being inflationary. Where have you been? So the Fed didn't cause inflation. That's my first point. There's economists that would argue with me on that. Oh, the low interest rates, they were artificially low and they caused too much money to be in the system. No, that low interest rates can be problematic. Unusually low interest rates can be problematic. Don't get me wrong. It leads to people lending that shouldn't be lending, things like that. But when you pump $7 trillion into a system in the course of like 24 months, folks, that is inflationary. That's like textbook, go back to economics in high school, inflationary, all right? You are massively expanding the money supply, all right? And you're not increasing the goods and services that you're pumping out. It's inflation. And so Congress and the White House, by signing legislation to spend money that we don't have, they caused inflation, okay? And we're still reeling from the effects of it. So Congress caused inflation, Biden caused inflation, and then Biden comes in and he continues to spend money through Congress, right, that we don't have, that we have to print. But not only does Biden, and this is what differentiates Biden and Trump, but not only does Biden spend money that we don't have to the tune of trillions, but he also implements a contractive economic policy. So like, hey, let's shut down pipelines. Let's increase taxes. Let's increase regulation. Let's ship jobs overseas. These are all policies that cause businesses to contract or move. It's well known that Democrats aren't good for corporate business. That's a fact. That's why secretly CEOs were hoping Trump would win. And this is why they're all wanting to meet with him at Mar-a-Lago.
And contributing to his inauguration party.
Yes. Trump, Republicans, good for business. And it's good for Americans, too, not just good for business. Because when business does well, workers do well. That's a fact. And so the reason I bring this up is because the Fed is so out of touch. The Fed is so out of touch. To think that Trump, you got to be concerned about Trump and inflation. No. They're so political. And here's why they're political. Because we were going into the election and they couldn't wait to cut rates. Even though many people said, and I think they had to cut rates personally. I just think they had to. I mean, it was just suffocating. And the government borrowing is based on these rates. So our interest that we're paying on the debt is like five times more than it was before COVID. And so it's terrible. It's just all around bad. And this is why you shouldn't make debt a normal operating maneuver in a country or a business. It just puts you in positions you don't want to be in. And so the Fed had to lower rates. The housing market is at a standstill, and it's an unmitigated disaster that nobody's talking about right now. So the Fed's hand was forced, but they didn't cause inflation. So this whole like, hey, let's hike interest rates and get inflation down, that's kind of a faulty way of going about this. This is a fundamental flaw in the Fed. If they don't cause inflation, how are they going to bring it down? Well, they're going to use what is historically known, and they will admit this, they put a wet blanket on the economy. That's what the Fed does by definition. They hike rates, make lending expensive, and then things cool down, and they cool down too cool, and then they go, oh man, we're entering a recession. We've got to lower rates. We've got to stimulate growth again. All right, and it's this cyclical nature of this modern monetary policy that we're in that is very flawed. It's a very flawed way of operating. But nonetheless, I think it's laughable, just to wrap this up, I think it's laughable that the Fed is concerned that Trump's policies are inflationary. And I'm not going to say that Trump's policies aren't inflationary, because we're not there yet. We know they weren't inflationary under any circumstance. They were actually deflationary under the first term. And I don't think his new policies in the second term are going to be inflationary at all. Tariffs are going to raise prices on goods. No, they're not. No, they're not. And here's why they're not. Tariffs, let's go with the argument that tariffs get passed on to the consumer. That's what these Wall Street guys say all the time. It makes me so annoyed. Tariffs are going to be passed on to the consumer. It's going to be a tax on the consumer. Well, okay, let's just operate under that assumption, even though that's not always the case. The companies that are getting their goods from other nations that get applied the tariffs to, let's say they raise their prices for the consumer. Well, that's kind of a good thing, because number one, it makes the consumer quickly identify which companies are getting their goods from foreign countries. But number two, it prices those goods out so that American-made goods and services can compete. It levels the playing field. So even if the argument that tariffs are going to cause companies to raise prices on American consumers is true, folks, that's why we have options. We have options, all right? Yeah, there's some monopolies out there, but we have options, all right? And so if a pair of tennis shoes is getting made in China and there's a tariff on tennis shoes made in China, then the American-made tennis shoes are going to become quickly more affordable, because the folks making them in China are going to have to raise their prices or just eat the loss, one of the two, I don't really care, to make up the difference. So that's my argument in favor of tariffs. Not to mention, tariffs have been around since the dawn of this nation. So you've got to argue with like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson to have some beef with tariffs, okay? And they were actually the primary source of revenue in the early years of our nation. Probably it goes on probably decades. I'm not an expert in this, but tariffs are like, well before the income tax, and the income tax is a baby compared to tariffs. Okay. Tariffs are like the mature adults in the room when it comes to ways of bringing in revenue for the federal government. If we want to really criticize anything, let's stop bashing tariffs. Let's start bashing the income tax, because we can prove, Bobby, that the income tax is by definition black and white unconstitutional.
Yeah, no question.
It's not in there as a means of bringing in revenue for the federal government.
And even if they wanted to make it a congressional mandate, as we've discussed before on the show, again, it's just for what is constitutionally viable in the marketplace that the U.S. government is responsible in terms of services provided to the citizenry.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's where you draw the line in the sand.
Well, they would have to amend the Constitution.
Yeah, that's where, well, that's, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah,
they've been so good at that over the last 25 years.
Right.
Just as an initial estimate.
Yeah. So this is a, let's all have unity here. It's 2025. Let's all have unity here and let's all be in agreement that let's focus our attention on bashing the income tax. All right. So all the folks that want to bash tariffs, which are typically Wall Street guys, they want to bash tariffs. Let's bash the income tax because we got to agree on that. I mean, find me the words income tax in the Constitution and you're not going to find it. All right. So that's just one of the litany of unconstitutional things that we currently have in place. And it's suffocating. It's suffocating. It is a tax on productivity. And Stephen McDowell and David Barton, some of these guys, Jerry Boyer, they're more, you know, they're like scholars in this type debate, but it's, folks, the number of taxes and the rate of taxes we have is absolutely suffocating. It's insane. It's infuriating. It's counterproductive. So we've got to open this thing up. All right. And we ought to be cheering President Trump on every time he bashes the income tax. Says we ought to get rid of the federal income tax. We ought to be cheering them on, high fives, birthday cakes, whatever it takes, because it is a good discussion and a good debate to have. So my opinion, my advice to the Fed is y'all ought not be worried about Trump's policies. Trump's policies are going to be just fine. Trust me, they're going to be just fine. Y'all need to be worried about your own policies. Y'all need to be worried about your own policies. And really your mandate, your fundamental mandate that the Fed has set out for, it's heavily flawed. It needs to be reconsidered. The existence of the Federal Reserve, their quote unquote dual mandate, which is the mandate itself is contradictory because they're supposed to, their mandate, I believe, is twofold. It's to maintain full employment and ensure basically consistent pricing, and they use different terminology, but basically combat inflation. So combat inflation and maintain full employment. That's their dual mandate. And they use interest rates as the weapon. And you just can't have it both ways. And this is the problem that they run into is the economy gets hot and then the Fed comes in and they cool it down and the economy cools down. The Fed comes in and warms it up. Why can't we just have consistency here? Let's just keep things level, consistent, including rates. Keep them consistent. We'll be back in a few.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Well, I apologize if you had to sit through my rant on modern monetary theory and the Federal Reserve in the last segment. I might have made some of you fall asleep, but I was just getting started. And no, we'll change the subject, but it was a good discussion and it needed to be had. And, you know, we ought not just assume that, you know, things are good and that this is how they should be just because this is how they are, if you understand what I'm saying. And the existence of the Federal Reserve shouldn't just be assumed that, hey, you know, the Federal Reserve's here, it serves a good purpose, and it just ought to always be here. No. We need to have a robust debate about the existence of the Federal Reserve and really how much good they've brought upon our economy since they've come into existence. That needs to be a pretty robust debate. We should not be afraid to debate our institutions, to debate the existence of our institutions, the existence of federal agencies, while we do what we do. I mean, think about how many times the liberals want to question our constitutional rights. I mean, these are things that have been around since, the 1700s and some of them earlier with the colonial period pre, you know, Declaration of Independence. But these are things that have been around for several hundred years, and the liberals are still debating them, like our First Amendment. and we want to debate the Federal Reserve and tariffs. And they're like, no, we can't. The Federal Reserve has been around for 100 years. We can't debate them. They're a longstanding institution. Well, you didn't say that about my First Amendment or my Second Amendment or all my other constitutional rights that have been around since way before the Federal Reserve. So everything should be up for debate, all right, including the Federal Reserve. Let's move on to this story about these wildfires in Los Angeles. This is terrible, by the way. I think there's two people, multiple people have been reported, fatalities, multiple fatalities reported in California, specifically the Los Angeles area. At one point, there were about three fires going on in different parts of LA. That could have changed. This was just as of this morning. But here's just some interesting facts as we talk about this. Let's see. As of early Wednesday, the fires are 0% contained. This is according to Fox News. California Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency. These are wildfires. Anybody who's been keeping up with the news for some time understands that this is a problem in California, major problem. More than 30,000 residents are under evacuation orders. More than 200,000 people are without power in Los Angeles County. That was as of Tuesday evening. The fires are being pushed by Santa Ana winds from the east. And the officials warn the worst is yet to come. This is, once again, this is all like bullet points from Fox News. President Biden's headed out there in California. Maybe, I think he's on the ground now in California. But what I want to talk about today in relation to this story, and by the way, this is a tragedy all the way around. So I don't want to seem in any way unsympathetic, non-caring, or like a political junkie that all I want to do is bash Gavin Newsom, because that's not the case. This is part of a broader issue. But people are losing their homes. Some people have lost their lives. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that shouldn't have ever occurred. But the, you know, if you've been keeping up with how the liberal media works, is they love politicizing everything, okay? And some things are worthy of being politicized. And I'm, you know, other things are not. But one of the things that the media has loved to politicize in recent years is hurricanes and natural disasters. Hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, etc. And here's what they'll say. And there's zero evidence to support this. They don't bring evidence to support it. I mean, this is pure propaganda, okay? But they'll say, you know, we're at historic levels of hurricanes this year because of climate change. Or, you know, they'll throw in the word climate change and fossil fuels and global warming, and they'll throw all these buzzwords out. And they really want the populace to believe, honestly, that we're the ones causing this. Look, we're the problem. Humans are the problem. All right, this is the Marxist, liberal, hate America propaganda machine. If you're driving a gas or diesel burning vehicle, you know, if you're not driving an electric vehicle, if you're not using solar panels to power your home, if your state's not investing in quote unquote renewable energy, even though by definition, no energy is renewable. And I can go down that path because the solar panels need all kinds of rare earth minerals to store in the lithium ion batteries. So at some point, technically, we're going to run out of lithium minerals and others. So that's not renewable. I mean, to be renewable, right, it's got to just keep going. You shouldn't have to have human input. That's my point. The windmills, that's not renewable because you got to have man build the windmills. And then you got to have places to store the power, all right? That's not renewable. And so this whole renewable energy terminology, it's kind of, I'm not going to say it's not somewhat renewable, but it's not perfectly renewable. And they're using this term renewable like it's this pure, you know, perfect solution to our energy production. And it's not. They've all got their problems, okay? And some of them are good. So I'm not anti-renewable energy or anti-solar panels or windmills. I'm just saying it's not the gospel. And it's not perfect, okay? And there are many reasons why. And there are some major environmental pitfalls to every one of these so-called Green New Deal solutions. Ask the wells that are dying off the East Coast because we decided we want to set up floating windmills in the middle of nowhere. And there's stories of that right now. You can go look it up. It's terrible for the environment. So there's a lot of hypocrisy here, but back to the wildfire story. What I want to point out is, and this has to be debated, because if we just cover these stories and we don't debate the underlying facts surrounding the stories, we are getting nowhere as a nation. We are getting nowhere as a people. But California is notorious for their forest mismanagement. Their forest management system and program is basically non-existent. And here's why. Because they have bowed to the environmental, tree-hugging, Green New Deal gods. And they've done it to such a degree that they are unable to do the most common sense, practical, actually environmental ways and things that can prevent wildfires from causing this level of damage, all right? Are we ever going to be able to 100% prevent wildfires in America and in California? No, of course not. That's unrealistic. That's unpractical. But can we mitigate the damage here? Can we make it where you don't have 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 residents being evacuated in LA? Absolutely. But what happens is they don't, because of the environmentalists, the Green New Deal gods, and the tree huggers that I just mentioned, they don't do anything. I mean, they might do some things. The people on the ground will say, oh, we do this and we do that. They don't make substantial steps forward in preventing this level of damage, this level of disaster. And there are things like controlled burns and fire lanes that are two like textbook cases and uses of preventing wildfires from spreading to this degree. But if you talk to people in California, of which we've had some call into this show, they'll tell you that California doesn't permit much mitigation when it comes to fires at all. There's some, once again, there's caveats. But for the most part, California has been very like hands-off. We don't want to cut fire lanes. We don't want to do controlled burns because of the turtles or whatever kind of excuse they want to make up. And so here's what you get. Here's what you get. You get an environment that is just a recipe for disaster. And they've got 80, 90, 100 mile per hour winds. And I think this ought to be debated. This should be debated pretty seriously, pretty robustly. And I think it's fair game. And here's why I think it's fair game. Because the left wants to blame us. I mean, the media, they waste no time blaming conservatives and Christians and you and me for all of the world's problems, right? I mean, after all, we're the bigots. We're the insurrectionists. We're the haters. We're the closed-minded people. And we cause climate change because we don't drive Teslas. Now, this is the narrative. This is the propaganda. I'm not making this stuff up. And we have hurricanes because America is careless with our environmental standards. And AOC and Al Gore tell us the world's going to end by 2030. And they keep changing the date, by the way. The world's going to end by 2030 if America doesn't take drastic actions, as California is polluting this world into oblivion, dumping plastics and the list goes on. Their residents haven't seen sun in 300 days because they got smog out the wazoo. And so, no, don't guilt trip me that America is environmentally careless, that we're the problem on the world. We've all got to, you know, eat bugs and ride our bikes to work. No, 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 no. What's happening over here, not to mention the entire Green New Deal environmental propaganda, is all built on a foundation of sand. I mean, it is very faulty science, if science at all. But California is, they're not having an answer for this. And this is my problem here. Is they tell me because I burn gas driving to work that I'm causing hurricanes, but California's not cutting fire lanes and they don't have to answer for that? Are you kidding me? Like, you want to talk about, like, cause, like, connecting dots here? Cause and effect? California's not cutting fire lanes. California's not doing control burns. And I'm speaking broadly here. And then they have a massive wildfire that spreads, like, insane, at insane rates. These guys aren't even able to keep up with it. I feel bad for these firefighters. I mean, they're getting put in a very bad situation. Because the government and the tree huggers are saying no controlled burns, no fire lanes, no other practical measures, anything that touches the environment, you can't do. And then, but when the wildfire starts, they call 911 and say, hey guys, can y'all, we got a fire, they got a 1,000-acre fire, can y'all go fix it? Oh, and by the way, don't drive your trucks into the forest or your bulldozers because there may be a turtle in there. What? No, I'm not showing up to clean up y'all's mess because you guys don't know how to manage things. And so I think California has to answer for this. I think their government has to answer for this. I think Gavin Newsom has to answer for this. And I don't know when the people are going to wake up because I'm in Mississippi. I don't vote in California. But when are the liberals in Los Angeles going to look around and go, you know, guys, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. I shouldn't have to evacuate every 3 months because my government doesn't know how to manage the forest. I mean, there were reports of the fire hydrants not working in Los Angeles. Yes, you heard me right. There were reports of the fire hydrants not working in Los Angeles County. And Trump's a problem. You want to talk about incompetent leadership, the fire hydrants not working. It's 2025. It's 2025. We've got driverless cars. We've got drones that we can't even identify. We're going, you know, to space every other week. We've got satellites everywhere. We're so advanced, they say. But we can't get the fire hydrants to work in LA County? Who's going to answer for that? So this is a call to Californians. It's a beautiful state. It's sad that this is where it's come to. California's a beautiful state. But when you have incompetent Marxist Democrat leadership for decades, this is what happens, and people suffer. That's the worst thing of it all, is that with Marxism, Democrat policies, and liberalism, it's not just that they're bad ideas, but humans suffer. And that's what should infuriate all of us, is that fellow man is unnecessarily suffering because we've got a lot of people in positions of power in this country, including California, that are incompetent, wrong, terrible ideology, faulty thinking, and they're running the state into the ground. So I think the California government, state and local, needs to answer for these wildfires.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.